Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Peng Chin Ma for the petitioner. Your Honor, this case involves issues of the how to properly interpret and apply the Real ID Act. In this case, my client filed an application for asylum and withholding of removal. The judge denied his application based on the lack of corroborative evidence. The issue is, after the enactment of the Real ID Act, whether the judge, the immigration court, and also the BIA can just omit its analysis of the testimony of...
But forgive me, because I think we need to zero on to a different issue. And it's this. Is Mr. Zhang raising any legal or constitutional challenge to the Attorney General's exercise of discretion in denying the asylum claim as time-barred?
Your Honor, the time-barred is the asylum application. An alien did not...
But no, there's a yes or no answer to that, and it would be helpful.
Yeah, it's over 1 year.
So your answer is he's not raising any legal or constitutional challenge, correct?
Right.
Well, then, if not, how would we have jurisdiction to consider the petition as it relates to asylum?
Your Honor, where's our
jurisdiction?
Your Honor, we have to, we request the court to review the immigration court's findings of fact and also application, especially the Real ID Act.
But I think what Judge Rovner is suggesting is that insofar as this is about asylum, we are not reviewing anything. Maybe insofar as it's related to withholding of removal or the Convention Against Torture, there is still something since the 1 year doesn't apply to that. But I don't think you have any asylum case here unless you can tell me why I'm wrong, given your responses to Judge Rovner.
Yeah, but the Real ID Act says that you have to file within a year. But sometimes there might be exceptions to the one-year bar. If you can explain why you didn't file within a year. In this case...
But we've held those are discretionary, though.
Yeah. We were both going to say the same.
Yeah, that's we request the court to review the immigration court's decision based on whether the court, the immigration court and the BIA abused its discretion in denying the relief. Still a reviewable issue.
Why is it reviewable?
Because under the Act, there is an exception. If there is exceptional circumstances that prevented this particular individual from filing within a year, and then the asylum should be granted, if other evidence supports the claim.
But you didn't raise any legal or constitutional challenge to that, so tell us what it is.
Your Honor, I don't believe it's a constitutional issue. It's just an exception contained in the Act.
Will you tell us what it is in Mr. Zhang's case? It would be so helpful.
Mr. Zhang was a leader of workers' movement, miners' movement. They protested mistreatment of the workers, and he was a leader who was jailed and he was mistreated. Now the legal issue is that during the testimony, Mr. Zhang testified in support of his own claim. The judge just made a determination that he was not credible simply based on the fact that he did not submit any other evidence. But the judge did not analyze whether his testimony was consistent, whether there were inconsistencies. They said, you are not credible because you don't have evidence. First of all, the judge mentioned, you could have received some letter from your parents, your wife, to corroborate your claim. Your Honor, sometimes the family members, they could have sent anything if the son requests, but the court repeatedly rejected discounted the weight of the of such evidences. They said this is the self-serving. And secondly, the court says an event happened in 1998, and there was no news report. Your Honors, It is true that nowadays the world is witnessing more and more events in China, happening in China. But in the same time, the world is not able to witness or to take notice of a lot of events of great political importance because of the peculiar nature of the system. It happened in 1998. The hearing was 2008. It's 10 years ago. That's the fact that my client was not able to produce any reports, that's not a basis for just to discredit his claim, his testimony. We request that even under the Real ID Act...
Well, so you're saying, in essence, that these reports at least fell under the Real ID Act's provision for corroborating evidence that cannot reasonably be obtained. I mean, the IJ is entitled under the statute to ask for corroborating evidence. The rules have changed, as I'm sure you know, with the Real ID Act, but the applicant does have an opportunity to show it can't reasonably be obtained. How did he try to show that?
He explained that he did not want to involve his aged parents, and he could not locate his wife, and he could not get anything from the government. And also, he was not able to get any news report of the events. Probably there was no news report regarding the event. Our position is simply...
Did he tell the judge how he tried to get those news reports?
Simply, he said, no, I was not able to get anything. And that's the simple answer.
He couldn't get an account from the friend who helped him to flee from China?
That question was not raised at the hearing, but I don't believe he testified to that. That person was simply helped him leave China.
Were there other members of the strike that was also mentioned?
Yes. Yes, that's, Your Honor, we have to understand, he's here at the time of the hearing. He had been here for 10 years. He could not even locate his own wife. We have to understand that.
But we do understand that, but there's a troublesome overtone to that argument, which is that if you manage to stay here illegally for a long period of time, we should be easier on you from an evidentiary point of view, and I'm not sure that's what the statute says.
The report of, say it again,
Your Honor. Well, he's been here for a long time illegally, and so, of course, it becomes more difficult for anybody to collect evidence, but I don't see why that's a reason to be more lenient in the request for corroborating evidence, because that creates an advantage for people who violate the law.
Yeah, that's why it is particularly necessary for the judge to analyze the live testimony of the witness. The witness testimony is very important evidence. In this case, the judge simply ignored the testimony, saying that however credible your testimony is, you have to produce other evidence to corroborate your testimony. I believe in that respect, the judge erred. The judge had to analyze the testimony, whether it is credible or not, not just to make a determination simply based on the lack of other evidence. I believe in this respect that...
Look, under the Real ID Act, an IJ, an immigration judge, is authorized to deny an application for lack of corroboration, regardless of whether his testimony is credible. So, I mean...
If it is credible, I don't understand why. If the testimony is credible and the judge believes him, why?
Well, here the judge didn't find him credible, but even if he had found him credible, arguments would be tied.
Right. The determination is based on an invalid basis, because he said there's no corroborative evidence. If the judge said your testimony is not credible, so we need other evidence to to establish that the events you testified to, that's reasonable. That's the
exactly
but in,
what the judge did here.
Hmm?
Exactly what the judge did.
The judge said to the judge did not analyze the testimony. He even didn't make a finding of fact. What fact was established? What facts were not established? The judge did not do this.
Thank you, Mr.
Okay.
Times
Thank you, Your Honor.
Ms. Murphy.
Good morning. May it please the Court, Lindsay Murphy on behalf of the Attorney General. Mr. Zhang gained admission to the U.S. in 1999 on his second attempt at entering with false documents. DHS wasn't alerted to his unlawful presence and able to place him into removal proceedings until more than 7 years later, when he was convicted of trying to obtain a state identification document using a fraudulent Social Security card. Then and only then did Mr. Zhang claim a fear of persecution in China, and he received a full and fair hearing before an immigration judge.
Now, I have to say, one thing that the government argued didn't make any sense to me, which was that the fact that he didn't make the asylum claim for 7 years suggests that he didn't really want asylum. Now, of course, he's been in the United States. He apparently wants to stay in the United States forever, and so I don't think it means that he was any more willing to go back to China. It's just that he wasn't doing it, if you will, by the book. He was just staying in the United States.
He was staying in the United States,
yeah.
And he did testify, Your Honor, that had he not been arrested and convicted of false affidavit in Chicago, that he probably never would have applied for asylum.
Right, right. And so he had actually just found an alternative way to give himself asylum. I don't think it reduces his desire for asylum. It doesn't help him much either, actually, but yeah. It doesn't hurt him.
Yeah, it doesn't help him much, and I think In light of these other things where the petitioner gained admission twice or tried to enter twice using false documents and that he was trying to obtain a fraudulent state identification card, I think in light of these other things, the immigration judge found that reduced his credibility as far as whether he really was seeking asylum and had been persecuted in China.
Well, I don't see, again, that makes no sense. It certainly could reduce his credibility generally. So, you know, how awful was it in China when he was in the jail after he organized, you know, was there a strike? Did he organize it? What were the conditions like? There are all sorts of questions like that the judge might have had. I think it's very clear he wants to stay in the United States and thinks that it would be better here. Now, we don't know what else to believe of his story, and the immigration judge criticizes him pretty harshly for lack of corroborating evidence.
He does. And Your Honor, the fact that whether or not he was credible, the fact that the petitioner failed to provide any corroborating evidence in support of his claim is really fatal to his claim. Here under the Real ID Act, as this Court has mentioned, where an immigration judge determines that corroborating evidence should be provided, the applicant must provide that evidence unless it's not reasonably obtainable. The burden is with the applicant to show that such evidence is not reasonably available, and this Court has recognized in Rafael v. Mukasey that the petitioner must do more than simply say he simply couldn't get the evidence. Here, the petitioner made no attempt to get any evidence, or at least there's nothing in the record to show that he made any ostensible attempt to gain any documents. The petitioner came here.
So what you would look for is some explanation, I guess, on the record of I took these steps and they were unsuccessful or something like that?
Yes, those certainly would have been helpful to the immigration judge in determining whether this really happened to the petitioner. The petitioner initially tried to enter the United States in 1998 but was turned back and sent back to China. He wasn't hurt during that one-year period that he was in China before he came back and made his second attempt at entering.
He said he was in hiding, though.
He was in hiding with a friend, and that friend, I think Mr. Lu Huang, helped the petitioner gain documents in order to come back to the United States. During that time, the petitioner knew that he was coming back to the United States, yet he failed to get any corroboration in the form of a letter from his friend who he was staying with for a year, or a letter from any of the coal mine workers that he worked with in China, or from his family, for that matter. And I think the lack of any corroboration whatsoever supports the agency's determination that he failed to meet his burden of proof. Any more questions? So with that, the government requests that the petition for review be denied.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're out of time, but I'll give you 1 minute.
I believe counsel mentioned his previous attempt to enter the United States. He was returned to China. He explained at the hearing that's why he did not raise the issue of asylum after he entered, because he was returned to China the first time. Sometimes after the first time he did not raise it because sometimes there might be ignorance of people entering a new country that simply he didn't know it. At that time, we requested that the court at least should make a determination as to how the judge should handle the evidence. And also, I believe that the immigration court and the BIA forget about this court's observation that most genuine asylum seekers simply rarely can produce sophisticated evidence to support the claim. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks to both counsel. The case will be taken under advisement.